Community college is a key rung on our economic ladder. In fact, half of all college students in this country go to community college. They tend to be older, have more stressors like class, parenthood, family, work, not to mention the pandemic. And unlike four-year schools, community colleges often lack mental health services. Recently, Huron Now partnered with American Public Media and WBUR on a live virtual event on this topic. We reached out to students who spoke about various diagnoses, including bipolar disorder, PTSD, depression, eating disorders. Like 38-year-old Sarah Sherman, she says folks at her school haven't all treated her well.
People don't always know my diagnoses, but they might notice that I'm doing things differently or strangely. I had a couple teachers that would just be very short with me, or, you know, I had come to them telling them I was having a hard time or I would need a little extra time to do things, and just they would treat me differently.
Other students also told us about being mistreated, though they want to talk publicly about their mental health issues. Thing is, talking backfired in school for Beth Evans, who went to community college in the Chicago area.
I had written an essay for one of my English classes about my issues with depression, and I tried really hard to make it personal and exploratory, which also tied into the assignment. And my professor took me aside afterward and said, "Don't write about these sorts of things. That's way too personal. No one wants to read this. Talk about it with a doctor." I was heartbroken. I was really embarrassed because I felt like I put my heart on the line and took a risk. And it was just a reminder, I guess, that I felt different and that I wasn't fitting in. I wasn't making friends. And I just did not know where to go from there.
Shame came up over and over. During this event, I spoke to the Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, and he had his own story.
The topic itself is one that is of incredible public health importance, but it's one that I've been touched by as well. You know, as a young person, also later in life, I have struggled with my own mental health. I felt a profound sense of shame about it. Even though I was deeply loved by my parents, and I knew that love was unconditional, that I truly belonged when I was at home, I never told my parents, you know, in all those years that I struggled during those years of school, because I just felt ashamed. I felt like I did something wrong.
The Surgeon General's office has issued a rare advisory. It warns that the nation's youth are facing a devastating mental health crisis in this pandemic. Here's a couple numbers. If you lined up a group of female students, about half would report persistent feelings of sadness. One in six students say they have made a suicide plan. 30% of students who have had same-sex partners say they have attempted suicide in the past year.
If you changed the words mental health and substituted diabetes, cancer, heart disease, for any of those, we would be alarmed. There would be a national movement to address these for youth populations. Yet, I think we have not reacted with the same sense of urgency that we need to. These numbers speak for themselves. They tell you that mental health challenges are not common and they are not mild, that there are many of our children and young adults are in a difficult, difficult place, not dealing with just temporary sadness, but persistent feelings of hopelessness. The key, though, is also to recognize that mental health conditions, in many cases, are both preventable and treatable. And that should be the goal here, is to see how can we, one, make sure that people have access to treatment, quick access to treatment and culturally appropriate treatment. Second, how can we make sure we invest in the prevention programs that we know work, particularly in school and community settings? And the third is, how can we change the culture around mental health? How can we eradicate the terrible stigma that makes people feel ashamed to ask for help, even when their life depends on it?
Murthy said the causes of mental health diagnoses are many. It's genetics, it's family environment, it's life experiences like bullying, abuse, trauma, and a pandemic just makes it worse.
When you are dealing with a great deal of financial stress and insecurity, when you are trying to balance multiple jobs with school and childcare, these stressors, chronic stressors, because they don't last just for an hour or a day, they last for weeks, months, and years. These can really wear you down and take a toll on your mental health and well-being. And it's why it's so important that we recognize that addressing mental health is more than about making treatment available.
Sometimes community college students face mental health emergencies. But is there space in the ER? Here's Dr. Alexander Tsai, psychiatrist at Massachusetts General Hospital.
The clinicians in the department, we get these emails from the departmental leadership periodically saying, you know, hey, the psych ER is a little too crowded right now, so please stop sending your patients directly to the ER for issues that are not truly emergencies.
Community college students need these services. They also need food, clothing, childcare help, and they need schools that accept them as they are, says Jordan Herrera. She directs social services at Amarillo College, a community college in Texas.
I think it starts with creating an environment where people can feel comfortable and welcomed and, you know, just already feel that presence of I am seen, I'm a human first, and I have needs and I have, you know, maybe struggles that are going on, but I am being seen for who I am. So I think just creating that environment where somebody can feel open enough to share these struggles and, you know, have these conversations, especially if you are a person who's been positioned to advocate for these students.
Students who are essential to this country, essential to the American story of mobility, and essential to the workforce of tomorrow. Again, the Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy.
Community colleges themselves, the environment itself, can be an extraordinarily powerful asset when it comes to improving and addressing mental health, and for a couple of reasons. One is, the more we're able to build in counselors that are available to students and actual integrated treatment options for students, the more we make it easier for them to get the help they need. And it's not so easy sometimes to find that help in the community. But the second reason is that we know that social connection and having a sense of community and belonging are incredibly powerful when it comes to being a buffer against the stressors that people experience in the rest of their life. And to the extent that we can intentionally cultivate that sense of community in our educational institutions, it doesn't just happen by having happy hours and throwing people in a room together and hoping that they bond over ice cream, or drinks.
Some highlights from our virtual event when we partnered with American Public Media's Call to Mind Mental Health Reporting Initiative and WBUR. If you or anyone you know is in crisis or thinking about suicide, there's help 24/7. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 800-273-TALK.